Hey, before I start the show, I want to give a quick shout out to Kevin. Kevin, you know who you are and you know why. This episode is dedicated to you. But quick thought, you know what I've noticed is that when people give a shout out, they'll be like, I want to give a shout out to so-and-so. And it's more that they're announcing that they're giving a shout out and then never actually do a shout out. So I'm going to do an actual shout out right now. Kevin, there's a shout out. And then also, I just want to let you guys know that video of today's podcast is going to be online on patreon.com/mentallychill for anyone. I'm going to change it to anyone who donates $10 or more a month is going to have access to the video. And I will be honest, today's show was kind of chaotic and kind of a train wreck. I was recording in my family room, my living room that most people would call it, and my brother showed up with his dog, and then my uncle showed up, and then my dad and my sister called, and then the mics weren't working. So anyway, you are going to witness all of that on the video. If you're bored enough, it's actually kind of entertaining. So you're going to hear, we were probably taping for like an hour and 45 minutes, and what is online of this podcast is about 45 minutes. So you'll see a lot. And it's not pretty, except me, of course, and Kyle. And by the way, I always forget, Kyle's now been on the show 3 times. I always forget to tell you guys to follow him on Twitter. You can find him at Filthy Kyle, FilthyKyle. So follow him. He's a funny mofo. So anyway, that's it. Enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome to Mentally Chill. I'm in a super bad mood right now because I've been trying to get these microphones to work and they don't want to. It's almost like the universe is testing if I want to break things or not, and I'm choosing not to break things, but only because we're recording on video for the Patreon people. So if you guys want to see the antics behind the scenes, just go to Patreon and subscribe. For people who pledge $20 or more a month, get to see all the fancy videos. But seriously, we've been sitting here for like an hour trying to get these mics to work, and it's all on tape. So you'll see how frustrated I am. So Kyle's with us, and before you say hi,
I'm excited to finally talk.
great. Just so everyone knows, his mic isn't working great, so he's gonna be really quiet, which is almost like why I have you here, because it's like I want to be the star of the show.
Yeah. You told me earlier, don't stop talking so much.
It just worked out for me that I'm going to be the star and Kyle's just going to be this quiet voice that comes in every now and then.
Like a conscience.
Yes. So Kyle, as you guys know now, is a regular guest, but also the creator of your nickname, Children.
That's right.
So thank you, Kyle. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I am going to need you to talk probably a little bit louder.
Okay.
A little louder.
Louder?
How about louder now?
Are you for real?
Yeah, no, for real.
Okay.
See, look at now it comes in.
Okay.
So this is your line. See, look how quiet yours are compared to how loud mine are.
Well, you're a big mouth.
I am. So anyway, okay, today we're going to chit chat about borderline personality disorder, which I think I'm getting just from the setup of how frustrating it was.
From the tech?
Yes. I now doubt relationships. I want to do some cutting. I'm so frustrated. Anyway, but the reason we're talking about borderline personality disorder is not because Pete Davidson just came out on Mark Maron's podcast saying that he has borderline personality disorder. It just so happened that I wanted to talk about it. And then a listener, Helen, thanks, Helen, sent me a tweet and was like, did you hear about this? And I didn't know, but I was going to talk about this already. I said on my mini pod, which you can hear on the Patreon page.
I have yet to appear on the mini pod.
Well, you have to pay to be on the mini pod, like to even be a guest.
Even to be a guest.
$2 at least.
Yes.
I said on my little mini pod on there, that which comes out usually on Tuesdays, that I think Stevie might have had borderline personality disorder, and her and some of the people in her life that I've spoken with, they suggested it. And then I was like, yeah, I think, you know, it all seems to kind of make sense. And I don't think that she was treated for, or she was definitely not treated for it at all. And so I wonder if, you know, they had diagnosed her with that, you know, things maybe would have turned out differently. But it's like that, what a coulda, shoulda game that, like, I really don't want to play. I only like to play Monopoly, sometimes. That's the only game I like to play.
I'm a big Guess Who
guy. Oh my God. Do you remember Guess Who? Like a dude. This was, I feel like, it was right when I probably was just realizing how shitty the world was. But I remember a guy sued Guess Who because the cards didn't talk.
Yes. You remember that? But is that true?
No. Yeah, like, well, I mean, like I would have
like
to Google it.
One of those things, like,
yeah,
I remember hearing that, but it's like Marilyn Manson's the kid from Wonder Years. Right. It's yeah. Like, I don't think
how
it's
did
true.
That even get started?
Yeah, I don't know, but these things, you know, urban right. legend.
He's like the beautiful people. I was trying to think of a joke.
Turn back.
Yeah, God damn it. The thing is, with this episode, I really don't want to edit a lot because I don't have time, and so I'm like, shoot, Now I'm going to have to edit because I'm not funny. No, I'm going to leave that in so you guys can witness that sometimes I'm not funny.
Yeah.
Basically all the time.
No, I think you're off your game from the technical difficulties.
I am. I am incredibly off my game. I did want to say thanks to Samantha R., Victoria J., Jessica C., Carolyn M., and Mary for donating to Patreon. But I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to annoy you guys or bug you. It's all up to you if you want to go donate. I'm not going to shove it down your throats.
Victoria J.?
Victoria Joy.
Oh, I and then like Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live.
Did I say Victoria J?
Yeah.
I want to say Victoria Joy.
See, so I was helping.
Yeah. Well, that brings us full circle because the Pete Davidson thing from Saturday Night Live has borderline personality disorder. But do you know anything about it? I told you to Google and you Googled when you got here.
Yes. If you are a Patreon, you can watch a video of me Googling. Well,
it's very exciting.
I told you I'm reading through the things to check off if you have it, whatever that word is, and
symptoms.
Yes.
It's a tough one.
And honestly, it's like I think everybody probably could say yup.
I know.
Yup.
Well, that's the problem
at different times, you know.
Well, that is the problem because I border on, and no pun intended, I border on that kind of line of like it's trendy to have autism or something. Not that it's trendy to have autism. It's in style. It's the newest accessory. Autism.
I hope my kid's autistic. Right.
It will look great with my car. Like, you know, it's so I.
It was ADD when we were young.
Right. It's like it becomes autism. Trendy and it's like depression. Now I don't want it to become like a trendy thing. And I'm not talking about this because it's trendy or something that the more people talk about it, the more people be like, oh yeah, I have it. I do think that generally people who have it really do have
it's like gluten allergies.
Yes,
everybody's
yes,
like, oh yes, I can't, I'm off gluten. It's like for 50 years. Did we talk about this once?
I don't think so.
This is our second time talking about gluten.
Well, I think both of us enjoy a lot of gluten.
Welcome to the gluten podcast.
yeah but it's like one of those things where I don't want to say like, oh, just because Pete Davidson has borderline personality disorder, so does Stevie. You know, it's not like that at all.
The other thing is Stevie had been seeing people, so yeah. Obviously, when I read the description, it's like, oh, it's probably hard to diagnose. So
I think it's really hard to diagnose. So one thing that I was curious about was what's the difference between borderline personality disorder and bipolar disorder? Because they basically both have ups and downs. So I want to read the definition of borderline personality disorder. Not like definition, but give like a description. So people who suffer from borderline personality disorder, BPD, have severe difficulties in regulating their emotions, which often leads to mood swings, impulsiveness, and unstable personal relationships. For example, I love you turns to I hate you very quickly. In addition to destructive mood swings, BPD patients typically have very low self-esteem and self-worth, which is manifested in suicidal tendencies like cutting or harming themselves. And I know Stevie did cut, and I know, yeah, and I'll get to a few things in a minute, but they also tend to have a fear of abandonment. And in one of our episodes, I'm pretty sure this episode aired. If it didn't, it's frustrating because Stevie did say that she had a breakthrough in therapy. Do you remember hearing this?
Yeah,
okay.
I remember.
She said she had a breakthrough in therapy and that she had a massive fear of abandonment. And so she said that I would say bye-bye to the world before the world could say bye-bye to me. And so that's a symptom of borderline personality disorder. They have fear of abandonment by friends or family, impulsive behaviors such as reckless spending or driving, and intense moods compromised of anger, depression, or irritability that can last for days. The cause is unknown, but researchers speculate that it's likely a number of factors such as genetics, environment, or brain function. And I feel like environment, like a la LA, would help bring this stuff out. So the difference between borderline personality disorder and bipolar disorder is symptoms of personality disorder are pretty consistent and ongoing, while people with bipolar disorder appear to have breaks between their extreme mood swings in which they experience mid-range mood. But basically, like, bipolar disorder people will start to feel, I guess, normal for a little while, whereas borderline, they'll never really feel kind of regulated or something. All personality disorder issues manifest in relation to interpersonal relationships. In other words, it's likely that personality disorder symptoms may be triggered by conflict within relationships, while the bipolar symptoms appear out of nowhere. So there's no real trigger for bipolar, I guess, versus there is for personality disorder. But I do remember saying on another episode that when we talked about Catherine Zeta-Jones, her bipolar disorder came on like later in life, and they said it was kind of triggered by her husband's cancer, but just here it says it's not triggered. So basically everything you read on the internet is bullshit, and I'm just regurgitating it to you guys and then realizing it's bullshit.
Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like everything I looked at, all 5 minutes of what I looked right, at, right. Like they have a clear cut way of diagnosing it.
Yeah. Do you know anybody that has had, by you think that's, has borderline personality disorder?
Well, after reading it, me.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think
I do.
Do
you think you really do?
No, I don't. Because, like I told you, I don't get into, like, ruts or sadness very often.
Do you feel like you're going to be abandoned?
No. I don't care if I'm abandoned. Like, I'm, like, super just.
If you're more like, please leave.
I told you last time I do every day differently. I live completely in the moment. And
I wonder if.
Which is weird that I get anxious because.
Yeah, because you do seem to live in the moment.
Yeah.
I wonder if Kevin from Home Alone has borderline personality disorder now because his family left him like that.
Well, I'm.
They should do like the well, they did, I think, do a sketch like the later years or something.
He's probably so traumatized. I mean, just in general. People are trying to kill him for straight movies.
I saw like a tweet or something and someone said, come on, you sick fuck. Just call the cops. Yeah, like, stop torturing these guys.
I know. Seriously. Yeah. Like, he's the bad guy.
Right.
Isn't that the meme?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's really about a sick 12-year-old bastard.
Yeah. Which, like, is disappointing to me because I love that movie so much that I don't want to look at it in any other way but perfection. But that is kind of true. It's like, oh, Kevin, you know how to, like, go get groceries. You know how to call the cops.
Yeah. You're shaving.
Right. And asking information about toothbrushes.
Yes.
I'm definitely don't have any of these symptoms whatsoever. And it's like, I want to look for them and be like, oh, that's me.
Check it off.
Yeah, it's almost like a narcissistic thing or something. Did you hear about, so you didn't listen to the podcast with Pete Davidson?
No, the Marc Maron one, no.
You told me about it, that it was on there, because when the girl Helen told me that came out, I didn't realize it was through Marc Maron's podcast. So anyway, I listened to the episode today. And this is kind of like I'm mingling between like
talking. Go listen to Marc Maron.
Yeah, like this is a big commercial for the dude who already gets millions of dollars. Right. He was on his podcast, so I listened to it before you came over. And I didn't know this because I don't know much about Pete Davidson. And for listeners, he's a comic and he's on Saturday Night Live. And he's
didn't
only he like lose, 24 or 23.
Didn't he lose one of his parents in 9/11?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a roast on Comedy Central, and people were like,
"But they were like,
hey,
using
I
it.
Haven't seen someone bomb like that since your dad."
Oh my
like,
God.
I mean, it was brutal.
Oh, it's so harsh.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
He said it wasn't a big deal, but
no,
that's
well,
be
he
a,
kind of admitted that the borderline personality disorder was probably brought on by his father's death.
Yeah,
and the way he talked about it on the podcast was like so casual, and I get that's like you want it like that's what this podcast is. We're keeping heavy stuff really casual,
yeah,
because it's the most relatable way to talk about things. But he was so lighthearted about it, talking to Marc Maron. It didn't when he was talking about the way it was discovered that his dad was dead from 9/11, he said it almost like he found a bottle of water in a fridge. Like,
yeah, I've heard him talk about it before, and it's very like, yeah, he was in the towers,
yeah,
you know,
and he was seven.
Yeah.
When it happened.
Well, he's super young. He was on SNL at like 19 or 20.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I have no pity for you anymore about your dad dying because you're really successful at 20.
I would trade my dad
right,
for that.
Right. You just heard the way I talked to him.
Yeah, right.
I'd much rather have a career than that. So, yeah, it was bizarre the way he minimized it. Not bizarre, but it's like, okay, you can see how someone is really having a hard time and just going to cover it up by not really like feeling emotions about it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. We're going to keep on going through this. I really don't have anything else to say about it.
I don't either. And that's the problem with like doing this is that it's like I'm hosting a podcast about mental disorders and I don't have all the mental disorders. Yeah. You know? Yes. Yeah. If I was a schizophrenic, I'd have mental disorders.
It would be a service to the podcast if you could develop some borderline personality.
I'm like, I'm feeling kind of... insecure here because I don't have it.
To me, the essence of your podcast hasn't always, like you said, we're not doctors. We don't pretend to know. It's more just like a shoulder to lean on or a place to go and forget about it. I see a lot of people tweeting you saying like, hey, you cheered me up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. You shouldn't take the technical aspects so seriously.
I know, but I guess when I don't have any experience with it, I'm like, well, what else am I going to talk about besides the technical aspects?
Weddings.
Weddings. Home Alone. My family annoying me. But I'm not going back to the technical aspects, but to touch on it a little bit more, because I thought you couldn't treat borderline personality disorder with medication. I thought it was just cognitive therapy or whatever, but I guess they treat it with either SSRIs, which I'm on an SSRI, but also with antipsychotics. And it's like, can you guys not call it psychotic?
Yeah, right.
You know,
like if I don't take this pill, I'm gonna really lose it. Right. I'm gonna be psychotic.
I'm gonna get psychotic. You know, and like I think it doesn't do any good for the person taking it because they're like, oh well, if it's an antipsychotic, I must be psychotic.
Yeah.
So then you label yourself as a psychopath. But what I realized is that, you know, Stevie came across totally not psycho to me. And I'm sure to most 99% of everyone in her life. And I'm not saying people with borderline personality disorder is psycho. But it's just crazy how it's not that cartoony version that you might picture in your head. Like,
yeah, it's not like a The loony. Shining.
No.
You're not like.
No, like Stevie still had great taste in decor and she still had awesome taste in music and she was still funny, but also could have this problem, you know?
Yeah. You don't see many psychotics with good taste in decor.
No. Imagine
they're not just like, that's really good for the feng shui.
Imagine like you go to like West Elm furniture store and like everyone working in there's a psycho. And I'm like, I didn't think you guys had good taste.
Freddy Krueger's like, are the stripes, they make you look fat?
Right. Well, that's fun. That's like a really good point. I wonder if like murderers and stuff, if they, not murderers, but people who are actually psychotic or like serial killers, if they're concerned with decor and fashion.
I imagine some of them are. Like, what's that movie? The Christian Bale's really
American Psycho. Yes. Yeah, like yes, because
he was super into trendy, hip 80s. 80s man.
Yeah, 80s style also, but like also 80s music, like good 80s music. He had really good taste. Yeah. And it's so creepy how like I see parts of myself in him.
Well, because I have a little of that like, of the movie,
obsession.
Like you can see how easily somebody could get.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not that easily. Yeah.
He's like my dream guy.
A hanger?
Right. Yeah, he's like my dream guy minus the murder.
And when he's Batman, he's my dream guy.
Yeah. So, it's such a dude thing.
Yeah.
And that shows like how screwed up girls can be. Because I'm like, he's my dream guy. Yeah. He literally is a psychopath.
He is bringing women home and chopping them
up. But that's what's so weird about women. And like, we can get so attracted to like, weird dude.
The bad boy
literally.
Yes.
And he was the epitome of that. But anyway, the borderline.
Do you think Forensic Files helps murder serial killers? Like, do you think they are like that as like, you know what, that's how that guy got caught?
Well, you know what, that bothers me because when I watch,
I know you're
it
a big fan.
I'm a huge Forensic Files fan. And by the way, I was watching Forensic Files before it was cool. Like, now it's cool, everyone watches it. I was watching it 10 years ago.
I was watching it on VHS, not Netflix.
Yeah, and it wasn't even called Forensic Files, I think, when I was watching it.
Then you weren't watching Forensic Files.
No, it was Forensic
Files. It's called Unsolved Mysteries, damn it.
No, I swear to God. It had a different name. I don't know if it was Forensic Files and changed and then went back to Forensic Files, but it was like True Detectives or something for a little while, or it changed.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson was in it. It was really weird.
Oh, yeah, True Detectives. It was an HBO show for a while.
It was
critically
really weird.
Acclaimed.
Matthew McConaughey was acting all
critically
weird.
Critically acclaimed, yeah. That's really ridiculous. But no, when I watch it, and they make these stupid mistakes, I'm like, you guys need to watch Forensic Files before you do the murder. Yeah. One guy, I always remember, stepped on hamburger rolls and left his footprint. like of his feet in hamburger rolls, you know that's going to leave the shape of your foot. They're going to measure your foot. But anyway, well, I think I actually just want to jump to who's sadder and stuff like that because I think we can have more fun.
I have a good story, too, about us when we were kids, too.
Oh, okay, good. That's what people are listening
for.
Yeah.
We don't have any real advice, just funny little stories.
And by the way, before you go, I want to try to recreate our picture. Yeah,
but I am so much fatter than I was.
But you can tuck your shirt in. You can still do a headstand, I swear. Unless I'll do the headstand and you pick your nose. I think
I'd rather do the headstand. We'll see.
Okay. We both, the equivalent of this podcast is that picture of us from high school. It's that's how we
complete just disaster. Gave up.
We were like, I don't know. We're not any good.
I feel like we should have done something way more clever, too.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. We choked.
Tell us we were doing it.
We didn't have time to prepare.
Come on, out in the hall now. Right. Like, what?
Nose picking. Headstands.
I left my whoopee cushion at home. Right, you know, like, yeah. Something.
Yeah. I'm going to Google class clown images and see what was good out there. I'm sure they're all over the internet.
The other thing is you want to be like unique. You can't do it like the last year's class. Like, because the me sign.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. That's yeah. Yeah, that's a class. That, like, that's hack, though.
Yeah.
Ours was like hack, but not used a lot hack.
Yeah. Ours was so hacky it's not used.
Right. Exactly.
That's exactly what it was.
Right. All right. So I have a who sadder that you'll like.
Okay.
Brought to you by my intern Day.
Oh, okay.
Okay, who's sadder, Costanza or Newman?
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's a good one.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So for the non-Seinfeld listeners, which how
listening.
Dare you? Yeah. Costanza, friends with Jerry, friends with Elaine, friends with Kramer, but no job really for a lot of the time, lives with his parents for a lot of the time, struggling dating wise, very frustrated all the time.
I still think Newman.
Or Newman, the shut-in.
Newman seems like happy in his own little
paradise, world.
You know. And he's got Kramer. They're always getting into trouble.
Yeah.
But George dates a lot of beautiful women.
Yes. Okay. And that's one beef that I've always had with the show. Is that how did George get these really attractive? I'm sorry, but like he was dating out of his league all the time.
How do I?
Well, there's not many options around here. They were in New York. These women could choose from millions of men.
There's even more of a reason. Wider net the cast, you know?
Right, but here I'm saying women's options are less.
So you're saying Jason Alexander's like the ugliest guy in the world?
No, but I'm saying he was definitely dating out of his pay grade.
So? What's wrong with that? He's funny.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. He was funny to us as television watchers, but him as a person, like if you met him, he wasn't funny.
I think I would get along with him.
Well, you would. Yeah, I would too. I would too, I swear.
I mean, I don't know. The sad thing is, like, Elaine really should just dated both Jerry and George. She's the only woman that could put up with them.
She's just a woman they pass around.
Yeah, yeah, well, that...
You're like, she should have been a sex slave.
Yeah, maybe, but different show. Right. HBO, late night. No, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. It's not easy to go on a date with a girl, and most of these episodes are half, you know, they're half 20 minutes.
Yeah, but
so
okay.
It's like he could get dates. It never works out.
Yeah, but they should have the casting. I always felt like I think they were trying to flatter Jason Alexander as a person because they're like, you know, guaranteed Jason couldn't have dated those women in real. Well, maybe he would because he was really successful and stuff. Anyway, yeah. Basically, I'm saying there's the episode where he's at that cool trendy warehouse in like the meatpacking district
with the
models.
The fake picture.
There's no way he was getting in there.
With that picture, he was.
That's true.
He's in the club.
That's true.
He couldn't without her.
Right. That was the whole point of the episode.
Yeah,
right,
he was dating
right,
so yeah. ahead of his.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think the argument always just comes down to that ignorance is bliss thing. Every time I'm like, whoever's sadder, whoever's more ignorant is the less sad.
See,
and I hate having that argument every time, but it's real.
But Newman doesn't have anybody, really. Nobody.
Right. But Newman is less concerned with that, whereas George wanted, it seemed like George pined for things. Remember, he yearned. Did you ever yearn?
Yeah.
He yearned. Whereas,
you know what it's like to yearn?
Yeah. Whereas Newman, I don't feel like he only yearns for cupcakes.
And not working.
Right, right.
It's raining.
Right, right. He yearned for not delivering the mail. And so I would say George for sure. But deep down, Newman, like something would happen with Newman where if they did like a really deep episode with him, he would just be like sobbing and like really letting it out and coming to grips with how sad he actually is.
Well, don't you wonder, like, you know what George's parents are.
Yeah, what are Newman's parents?
Like, how screwed up are they?
Very screwed up.
Yeah.
Very, very screwed up.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's the spinoff for Seinfeld. It's like I know. A dark, hour-long HBO drama about Newman.
Oh, my God.
He's really super complex.
Well, you remember he was in Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah. Well, what's the one with Sharon Stone crossing her legs? He's watching that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Indecent Proposal.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been in a lot.
He's, like, all sweaty, and he's the one... She does that too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So Wayne Knight, yeah. So maybe Jason Alexander is sadder.
I know. Well, who's sadder in real life? I think Jason is, because I saw a while ago. Jason Alexander was speaking at this theater in Santa Monica called Arrow Theater, and it was just like conversations with or something. And he talked about how he's so frustrated because he can't get cast, and he was saying how he's like jealous of Paul Giamatti because Paul Giamatti gets all the roles that he would want, but he can't get.
Stern, he's like,
he did.
Paul Giamatti's taken like six of my roles in the last decade.
Yeah. And it's like, because Paul, you look at as more of a serious thespian. And Jason's an amazing actor. But
I think
been
he's done a good job of distancing himself, but
he's not
deserting
really...
it.
Right. That's true. Where I do feel like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who just said she has breast cancer, which is super bummer.
Yeah.
She's like my hero. I feel like she totally distanced herself. Like she's Veep. She's Veep like all the way every day.
I know.
I kind of get mad at her.
Did you hear her at the Emmys? She's like, never did I think a show this great would. It's like, you were already in a better show.
Right.
I mean, I like
Veep. Remember your roots.
I like Veep. It's okay, but it's not really my lane.
I think Elaine in real life, Julia, is very political and politically driven. So I think Veep for her is.
It gives her a voice and a platform.
Yeah.
And it's like all that happy stuff.
It's upper alley, which always disappointed me because I'm not political at all. If someone starts talking politics, I just like tune out.
Yeah.
And I remember realizing that she was political because in LA, and they're doing it in a lot of places now, but they stopped allowing plastic bags. So like when you go shopping, you don't get a plastic bag. Like say I went to CVS or Rite Aid, you don't get a plastic bag and then you have to ask for a bag and it's 10 cents for a paper bag. Yep. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus was one of the people behind that. And it's as good as it is for the environment, it's pretentious and obnoxious. And I was like, Julia, come on. Damn it. Just be Elaine. Although Elaine was also, she was kind of like, she was very feminist-y.
Yeah, she had her, she stood up for
and
certain
she
things.
Was definitely like pro-choice in Seinfeld
and
stuff, but which is fine. Whatevs, but.
Yeah. I think Newman is sadder.
Okay, thanks for bringing it full circle. I do too.
Why is this so unnatural today?
I don't know. I think like the setup, I mean, we're sitting here for like an hour with me getting frustrated.
Yeah, that might be it.
We're fine. No one has any idea that we're screwed up.
I think we're letting them know.
I think they know. Okay. So at first I wanted to say George. At first I did want to say George, but I think George, because he shows more soul, I'd want to say George, but I'm pretty sure it is Newman.
Yeah,
even with his tiny little peanut-sized soul,
so
he's still sadder.
You don't get into politics, so not like over the last year, you just stay away from all of the. I mean, I'm not trying to pull you in right now. I'm just saying, like, do you like? Does it depress you? Like,
yeah, I get like
because I feel like there's no room for people that just want to be centrist and in the middle.
There
isn't
room.
That's sort of how I am. I'm just like whatever. I'm gonna. Side here with this and side here with that. You know, I'm not like plant my flag.
Right.
But like with depression, do you like.
No, it doesn't depress
me. None of it.
What depresses me is everyone hating on everybody for just having their own opinions on
things. That's the part that I get.
That bothers me.
Too. It's just how far.
The hypocrisy bothers me too. Yeah. For example, I'm totally in the middle. I'm not conservative. I am not liberal. Yeah. I'm totally in the middle because I think balance is key to everything. I think that's true with mental health. So if you're focusing on just every day reading quotes to try to feel better and working on feeling better, that's going to be, you're too much imbalanced because you're only focused on trying to get better. But if you focus a little bit on trying to get better and a little bit on just living a normal life, then that's when it meets in some sort of common ground.
Well, it's also arrogant to think that like you're the only person that knows the right way to do things.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to do things.
It's like, how do you think you're right? Like,
I mean, I'm not saying hand out guns to children or everybody gets free food every day, you know, but there's a lot of issues you can cross over.
I think it's just like the key for me is being reasonable. And I actually saw a vanity plate that said be reasonable. And I took a picture and I forgot to post it. But that was the only vanity plate in my life that I've been like, right on, man.
Well, what was the one? No, that's not true. You put one on Twitter. That was like, what one?
Well, those ones so I'm making sad. Fun of. Oh, well, no. Someone tweeted that to me. And I was like,
you retweeted.
Yeah, I like that one.
That was funny.
Yeah.
So it's a second vanity
plate. Second. Yeah, I was lying. But yeah, like just being reasonable. And I did a tiny little Twitter rant a while ago. And I basically said the reason things like swing so far left or so far right is because the people in the middle have no voice. But the irony is that if we had a voice, we would no longer be the reasonable voice.
Yeah, we wouldn't be in the middle.
Right. You know what I mean? So it's like this weird, you're kind of damned.
But it doesn't affect your mood at all, your depression.
No, it doesn't. With the hypocrisy, it's like, I know people who are, you know, it's like liberals will say about conservatives that conservatives are like small-minded and stuff, which I can see why they say that, but then they turn around to be exactly as small-minded, just in a bigger-minded way. Yeah. So, for example, I won't say who, but I have a friend who's super liberal, and I won't say he or she. I won't even show the sex here. They were in LA and basically wanted me to take them somewhere on the beach that was like away from like regular people. But meanwhile, all they do all day is tweet in favor of the regular people, but you won't socialize around them because they're not in your class.
You won't be out with the
cool people. And so it's like, that's when the hypocrisy comes in and just disgusts me. It's like, you're going to be, and the other day I took a car somewhere and the driver had said, it was the Emmy stuff, and the driver had said he drove this woman who I won't say and another woman who I won't say, who are both very, very famous and very, very liberal, and he said how rude and awful they were to him, and it had nothing to do with politics. We weren't talking about politics. And it's like these exact two women that he was referring to are on social media constantly preaching how great
kindness and respect for others and
you know, all this for the regular person. But it's like, wait, you don't even talk to the regular person in real life. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to tell me after, right?
I'm going to tell you, of course. Good. Yeah, totally.
Maybe the Patreons will hear that.
And yes, if you subscribe on Patreon, anyone
we'll
who donates $50 or more, I will give you celebrity dirt. I am desperate. Please. Seriously, I will add that as a benefit. So anyway, that's my tiny little rant on why I'm not political. I find both sides to be incredibly hypocritical. It's the same thing on the conservative side when they're like, you know, supposed to be Christian and then you hate people that aren't like you. You know, it's the same. So either way, that's why I'm not one or the other.
Somebody, I can't remember where I heard it, but they just said, you know, the thing to remember is there's still more good people than bad people.
And I don't know about that.
I think so.
No, I know. It's true. Actually, doing this podcast has renewed my faith in people for how generous people are, how nice they are, how flattering and like open to telling you their emotions. And because I used to look at people as very flat, one dimensional. And I'm kind of realizing that I'm like, oh, people actually have things to them that are, you know, that are nice. And
it's a nice thing to learn.
It is nice. It's kind of like renews your spirit a little bit. And then do you want to tell me a story or do you want me to get to FDAT?
You can go FDAT, whatever.
Okay. FDAT is interesting. Also brought to you by Day, the intern. The intern.
I'm not hitting the mic, Day.
No, right.
I got yelled at through Kristen.
Yeah, because we've been hitting the mic and Day yelled at me. So then I yelled at Kyle because you have to put your anger somewhere or something. So I put it on Kyle.
I'm going to find somebody to yell at.
You go home. It's like a chain reaction.
Hey.
Yeah. We have road rage on the way home. It's all because of Day.
Yep.
Then you crash. It's the butterfly effect. Then we can go back and blame Day. But then you have to go back and actually blame yourself for hitting the mics to begin with.
I got to blame you for not telling me that.
That's true. I should have. That is my fault. So this was kind of interesting about the Salem witch trials. There was...
Current events, huh?
Totally current events.
I don't like politics. We're going to talk about the Salem witch trials.
I'm very, very topical. The thing is this we could talk about, you know, in 100 years from now.
Yeah,
you know, course. If we could talk about 5 years ago, we could talk about 100 years ago. Anyway, so this lady, Linda, and I'm not going to say her last name because I don't know how, she began kind of nosing into the Salem witch trials in the 70s. And she kind of basically fell upon this information that possibly this all kind of took place because the people had ingested something called ergot, E-R-G-O-T, ergot poisoning, which comes from a grain, and it has effects like LSD. So basically, I'm going to read it to you so it's a little bit clearer. So when she began looking into this, she had no idea that a common grain fungus might be responsible for the terrible events of 1692. But then pieces began to fall into place. The hallucinogenic effects of drugs like LSD were the same things that these women were experiencing. And LSD is a derivative of ergot, a fungus that affects rye grain. And ergot poisoning had been implicated in other outbreaks of such similar bizarre behavior. Toxicologists now know that eating ergot contaminated food can lead to convulsive disorder characterized by violent muscle spasms, vomiting, delusions, hallucinations, crawling sensations on the skin, and a host of other symptoms, all of which are present in the records of the Salem witchcraft trials. Ergot thrives in warm, damp, rainy springs and summers, and when she examined the diaries of the Salem residents, she found that those exact conditions had been present in 1691. Nearly all of the accusers lived in the western section of Salem Village, a region that was very swampy and would have been a prime breeding ground for this fungus. At the time, rye was the staple grain of Salem. The rye crop consumed in the winter of 1691-92, when the first unusual symptoms began to be reported, could easily have been contaminated by large quantities of ergot. The summer of 1692, however, was dry, which could explain the abrupt end of the bewitchments. These and other clues built up circumstantial case against ergot, and it's too impossible to ignore. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I think they're maybe just witches.
That would be the simpler explanation. That's an interesting
take, but I think they were witches. Right,
right. That's a great point. That's a super great point.
You know, everybody talks about the persecution. What if those were American heroes that were ridding the world of witches?
Right. Well, they did a good job.
Yeah. Clearly it was a necessary stop.
Right. Right.
Because you don't see witches now, right. So they must have been onto something.
And there's a reason in which rhymes with bitch. Yes. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. That's
such a bad joke.
It was a really bad joke, like yeah. A super, super bad joke. Okay, what's the story you want to tell me?
Okay, so do you remember Greg's birthday party?
Yes, I know you were de-pantsed.
Yeah, right in front of you.
I turned around and it was right there.
Yeah,
so, I've seen Kyle's junk.
We were in sixth grade, probably.
I've seen Kyle's junk.
Yeah, fifth or sixth grade, and we were swimming.
I think it was more like eighth or ninth grade.
No, it was. No way, because I remember it was one of the first.
This was the start of my depression, actually.
Yeah. It was one of the first boy-girl parties.
Right. Oh, yeah, like, yeah, you're right. Like, and it was
Yeah, so sixth grade? Yeah, it was a pool party.
I was still invited. Yeah. So like, it probably was sixth grade. I wasn't totally ousted yet.
We were young. And,
You know what's funny is that, like, when you said I have a story to tell you, that went through my head. But I'm like, no, Kyle knows that I remember that. He wouldn't have to, like, remind me about that.
I constantly am reminding anybody who's seen
that. Who de-pantsed you?
Greg did.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
Hate Greg.
I know.
Right? I will say that loud. Such a jerk. Oh my God. He used to yell.
What if he listens? He's like, I was a fan too.
He doesn't even know what podcasts are.
Yeah, right.
You're like friends with him. You're like, no. Oh, okay. Well, he was so mean to me and.
Which is so weird.
Weird. He's a bully.
I know, but like.
He wasn't like the core person being mean to me, but he just was mean to me.
I don't see him bullying girls.
Oh, he did. I remember we were playing like kickball or whatever in gym, and he'd always come up to me and be like, choker, you're a choker.
I'm like, kickball?
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell? It's a little intense for kickball, buddy. Yeah. And then he was never nice to me. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway,
well, he wasn't nice to many.
No, he wasn't. And he reminds me of O'Doyle from Billy Madison. Isn't he totally like an O'Doyle rule?
Yeah, he's got a blotchy.
Oh, he's kind of dumpy and like, not that that matters, but like he's just got that look of them, and he'd be like,
did you say that for me?
No. You're very svelte. Everyone, just subscribe on Patreon so you can see if I'm lying or not.
Yeah. Hint, she's not.
No, he had that kind of like football player build of like a guy who'd be like a linebacker.
Yeah.
But not because he was muscular. Yeah. You know what I mean? And yeah, he was just mean.
That's odd to me that he'd be mean to you.
Well, it's the truth. Stop accusing me, Adam Carolla.
No, I'm
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You weren't picked on. But no, anyway.
I was invited to his birthday party, though.
Yeah, exactly. And
or maybe I just showed up.
No, you were probably invited. I feel like at that age, at like 6th, 7th
yeah, still grade, neutral,
you just would invite anybody that would come.
Except Jacob with the weird hands. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember
the
that.
Dry. It was like made of scales.
What's weird about that guy is like I ran into him probably like 5 years ago.
He went to give you a high five and you're like still dodging it.
No, he put his hand out to shake my hand.
No.
Yeah.
How'd it look?
It was the same. What do you think? Really? That just went away.
Well, I feel like I'd clear up.
No.
Get some medicine for
that. So I didn't shake his hand. I wasn't touching his hand. I was just like,
poor Jacob.
I'm all set, man.
Yeah.
Walked away.
It's tough being a kid.
I don't like to especially shake when you hands have of people that I like. let alone a weird skin diseased hand.
Yeah, like you told me not to hug you.
Yeah. 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 So imagine someone I hadn't seen or even remembered for 15 years.
Like his hand comes up to you and the sound of just like, ree.
He like introduced himself. I'm like, I know who you are.
We don't need to shake.
There's only one person with hands like that.
Yeah. He's always telling dogs to shake because they're the only ones that will shake his hand.
Yeah, right.
Poor guy.
He gives great back rubs. It's like scratching.
Yes, it was like basically like an exfoliation,
yeah,
like kind of.
Yeah, right.
Exfoliate he's your got back.
Very clear skin.
Oh my God. Like, but, he doesn't use a loofah in the shower. He uses just his hands.
He just
poor Jacob.
Yeah. But my point of the story was that was a very much a Seinfeld before Seinfeld.
With the deep pain. Oh, yeah. The
shrinkage and the, you know.
I wonder if that episode had appeared by then.
I don't know, but.
We'll have to compare
not
dates.
Not only that, but I wonder if that's where my anxiety came from. Because that's like the most traumatic thing for a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did anyone else see it? Was it just me?
You and Rachel Trevor.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like two girls I'll never have a chance to see.
We were the only people wearing glasses at the time.
Yeah.
We were the only ones able to see it.
Yeah, the only two next to a microscope.
Right, right, right.
I knew at a young age. It was like, I'm never going to sleep with either one of them.
Well, right.
Might as well become friends with
Right,
Kristen.
Well, it's almost like it should have been a good thing.
Yeah, almost like to make friends with girls. You just show somebody yourself naked, you immediately can become friends with them.
Yeah,
no, you have no hang-ups.
Right. As long as the people that saw it were cool. Like,
yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
Rachel's cool.
Yeah, so, I mean.
But you kind of owned the, like, small wiener thing because
I was going to say, as much as Jerry's a big influence on you in that show, Stern.
Right.
Like, always. I've always listened to Stern.
That's why you're wearing assless chaps
you
right
have
now.
To own it. Yes, yes. That's why my mom almost named me Fart Man.
So ridiculous. Well, this has been an awkward episode.
Really strange.
It really has been strange. Just not like I'm not in a flow because of all the technical problems, but I'm glad that you came. And the only reason I'm truly wrapping it up, not because it was awkward, but because you said you had to go by like 4:15.
Yeah.
And it's 4:16. You have to make dinner for your lady.
But you know what? I'm less worried about that now than I was because we discussed it and we're going to cheat our way through making it seem like a home-cooked meal. I mean, it'll be home-cooked. But
I'm not going to be hungry for a long time because before you came, I was having really bad anxiety about these microphones. And
I don't understand why.
good that I did because these were terrible today. But when I was having anxiety, I just was shoving my face full of Doritos. This is the only way I could calm myself. Nacho cheese Doritos.
Are they not like the best?
They're the best. It's almost like wearing a blanket. That's why I always eat McDonald's when I'm anxious because it's like comfort
food to the
max.
Doritos are so familiar.
Yes,
and you know what you're gonna get. Yes. And like, the first 10 taste different than the next 70.
Right.
You know,
always
like, they're so good in the beginning.
Right.
And then by the end of the bag, you're like, I hate these.
That's more with Cool Ranch for me. Like, Cool Ranch will be comforting at first, and then I start having the panic attack because they're so gross.
Yeah.
And I've eaten so many.
Yeah. What do you think they store the powder in? Like, in barrels?
Buttholes? Just people just fart out dry powder and it goes
out
of the chips.
I'm just thinking like barrels of the nacho cheese powder.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
giant vats of it.
Oh my God.
I just swim in it like Scrooge
McDuck. I'd
love
to bathe. Yes, I was gonna say I'd love to bathe in that.
You know, that would be.
Imagine, because your fingers get so stuck with the orange.
Yeah.
Imagine your whole body with the orange fingers.
Just your armpits, butt crack, your wet spots,
you know,
your
just the crevices.
Spots.
Well, when I get anxiety, I shove them in my mouth so quickly that like I've like cut the sides of my mouth. from the triangle shape.
I've actually had a Dorito injury too. I have a little bit of a gap in my front two teeth.
Oh, and it goes right up into the skin.
It's going right up in there, and I couldn't literally, like, I had to get a toothbrush. I couldn't get it out with a toothpick or a little plaque or nothing. Brush my teeth.
You had to go to the dentist.
Yeah, I was bleeding.
Hey, dentist, help me.
It was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've gotten, I call them, like, Dorito paper cuts.
Yeah.
Because it's like those little slices. Your mouth. It's pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, they are dangerous food.
Yeah. But
delicious.
It's so good. But that helped my anxiety, but now my anxiety's back. But anyway, all right, we'll go cook dinner for your lady.
Okay.
Go get more borderline personality disorder so we can talk about it better next time.
I really feel like I let you down on this
one. Well, no, I let you down. I should have talked about something that was more talkable. You know, like, I do want to do a show on eating disorders. Clearly, you can relate.
Yeah, yeah.
I do want to do a show on eating disorders, but I had already mentioned on my mini pod about borderline, so I was like, well, you should just stick with that.
It's tough for me, too, because I'm just pretty much here to try to, like, lighten it up and make jokes, but some of the topics aren't, like, you know.
You're not like, working with, like, I'm not, like, throwing you alley-oops
here. You don't want to really make light of somebody's situation if they're, you know.
But you do.
Well, you do to you know, it's just a fine line.
Yeah, that was cool.
A fine border line.
Oh, second pun. The last thing I want to mention, it was really cool. I got an email today from someone saying that they love the podcast and they were talking to their therapist about it. And
nice.
But I'm like, it's funny to hear someone. I was talking to my therapist about your podcast. So it's like doing damage.
It's like third hand therapy for you. You're like, so Kristen says.
Yeah.
What do you think she has going on?
Right. But it's so funny, the idea of someone talking to their therapist about this podcast, which is cool. It's really cool. And I'm glad the podcast hits you that much that you're talking about it in therapy and not in a way that you need to be cured from this podcast.
I see the tweets. Like, it sounds like it does a lot of good for a lot of people.
Yeah,
so
it's surprising. Even if it's doing me bad.
Yeah, even if the sound quality is not good and you get interrupted, I'm sure your children.
My children. So sorry, children, that the sound quality today might have been off and the content was off. But I blame that on Kyle.
Yeah.
And Day, just because Day's an intern and you can throw anything on an
intern.
That's
how it goes.
Day,
I don't even know Day and I'm yelling at him. It's like, he's just being nice. Nice little note. Tell Kyle not to touch the mic. Fuck you, Day.
Right. Hey, that's what you got to do. It's keep them in their place.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, thanks for coming by.
Yep. And thanks for having me.
You're not welcome.
Yes. Mom and Dad out.
Do you want to do my closing line for me?
Can I be a dad then of your mom?
It's creepy. Daddy. No, what if, like, I called you Daddy and you called me Mommy?
No, you're not calling me that. That is weird.
They can call you Dad.
Yes.
They should actually more call you Grandfather, because not because you're old, I swear, but because, like, Grandfather created this title and you're bald. Because you're bald and racist. And I'm just kidding.
Yes.
No, but you should be called Daddy. I should be called Mommy. And this is getting so weird.
Put the Y on it. The
Did
Y
you
makes
say dad?
It dad.
Or Daddy?
Dad is good.
Oh, I added Daddy.
Yeah, you put the Y. The Y makes it creepy.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay, I was thinking you said Daddy. Okay, yes. You're Dad and I'm Mom. And that was really weird. I don't know why I threw that in there. Daddy. I'm a weirdo. Probably just call my dad Daddy. Just to creep everybody out.
Well.
But anyway.
Yeah, way to leave on a high
note. Yes, I know how to do that. So, all right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Do you want to say my closing line?
You start it.
Okay, stay sad enough to listen.
But not too sad.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.